Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Takar, of course, the Slumdog Thousandaire, and I am joined by the Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara. How you doing, pal?
Why'd you just roast yourself?
That's what I say on the radio. It's carrying over. Supposedly, we're going to find out. I mean, this will have already come out, so this is dumb of me to promote. Supposedly, this Monday and Tuesday on You Up, I will be alone. I mean, I'll have guests, but no Nikki, so it's going to be a very weird You Up with Nikki Glaser without Nikki Glaser.
I think you should have a full meltdown.
Oh, that's a good plan.
And just be like, you got to do the network thing and be like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to get really political for sure. I'm going to like start crying on air that I can't do it without Nikki. Where's Nikki? I'm not up. I'm down.
We have a special guest today.
We do.
He's got an album coming out.
Yeah.
September 28th.
Shit. September 28th.
Right. Clark Jones.
Yeah, a.k.a. DJ 106 and Clark.
DJ 106.
Oh, I love it. Hell yeah.
And I'm Tommy the Big Boy.
Yeah, man.
No, you're Tommy, Prince of Snarkness.
Tommy just woke up, so his riffing and you know,
it
improv
one
for
PM.
Himself is hopefully for us is better, but coming up with the name for himself was a challenge.
He's the Prince of Snarkness. He did wake up. It is 1 p.m. right now.
Yeah.
He just rolled out of bed and onto microphone.
I was hanging out with the star of Freddy Got Fingered.
That's right. Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Freddy Got Fingered, underrated film, in
great
my
movie.
Opinion. I love that movie. I think it gets a lot of shit. I think it holds up. I watched it Stealing Harvard, too, I like.
I've never seen Stealing Harvard.
Oh, Stealing Harvard has some great scenes. If you haven't seen it, it's about what's his name? Jason Lee? Or is it, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like in all
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah. For My Name is Earl?
Yeah, yeah. It's him and Tom.
I'm a skateboarder, Jason Lee.
That's
right. Tony Hawk?
He's a god in the skateboard community.
Yeah.
People don't know that. Yeah. He's he's on Skate. The first Skate on Xbox, I think.
Ooh. Oh. Well, Tommy is a devil in the rollerblading community.
Oh, man.
he's a speed demon.
He's the MGK of rollerblading. He's a blade demon.
We got a lot to cover today. I want to talk about how was your experience opening for Tom Green last
great,
night?
It was great, man. Really cool dude. Super funny. I got to meet Andy Milonakis.
Oh,
the best
my God. That's so huge. I love that it's like an MTV reunion.
It really was, yeah.
Who else could show up? Like the people from Laguna Beach.
Puck was there.
The Nerdist. No, he don't. What if he did a guest spot? Would you still go up?
I'm hosting. I got it.
Yeah.
Hosts don't have integrity.
That's the loophole.
Hosts work for the crowd, man. We don't work for the venue. I'm here to entertain y'all. They gave me a piece of paper with names on it, and I'm going to just read it, dog.
Dude, I had a show once with this guy out in I don't even want to say where it was because I don't want to give too many details, but he was hosting, and me and the other comics were kind of like hitting it off, like riffing and stuff, and then he came in, and I think he could tell we didn't like his act, and he goes, well, I'm like the host, so, you know, I can just go up there and hack it up and nobody cares.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's not a rule. Like, you know, it's just going to be hacky because you're
horrible
hosting.
Way to start the show. Not with that energy. So.
Yeah. I was in Philadelphia. I don't want to say where I was. I said where I was.
You're just going to get more and more specific.
I did a show that I was not super psyched with. Where it's like, I don't like when you do shows where there's like 12 comics who go on before you and then you're doing a long set. You know?
That's weird. Yeah,
it's too
headlining.
Much energy to change.
No, I'm going last.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you're supposed to do like 30 to 45 or whatever, and everybody else is doing 15. And you're like, man, this show's been an hour and a half long before I even go up.
That's
people
brutal.
Are tired.
It's like in those situations, I know this isn't a comedy podcast.
Oh, this is a comedy podcast.
Oh, okay, cool. It's weird. Like, those type of situations, I almost have to just do crowd work for the first 10, 15 just so they can see my brand of comedy.
Sure.
And to just not, you know, because so many topics have been covered and comedy audiences are so weird in that, or any audience is like, they're programmed. Like, all right, he's right at the 15-minute mark. This is when we are expecting him
yeah.
to wrap up. And you're kind of programmed. Six or seven
yeah.
of those, they get into that.
Absolutely.
That habit.
Yeah.
So like, I almost have to break all the comedy rules to start. just to take them out of that that mode or that hypnotized kind of state that they're in.
Yeah, that's true.
So they don't know when I'm finishing. You know what I mean? Like, it was a mic somebody used to run, and they would he would let people go as long as they wanted to. I'm like, that's not
what.
That's not. I mean, like, you know,
that had to have been short lived. Yeah,
this was in Chicago. This is like his second year. I can say his name.
That's truly
he's
hell.
Doing well. Now. It was Dave Hellum who writes for Rail. Yeah, Davey Boy Hellum.
Oh, he writes on Rail? I didn't know
he
that.
He writes on Rail now. Yeah, congratulations.
Congrats.
And he used to run a mic. It was just like, yo, you got to time people because the crowd don't know what the fuck to expect.
Also, unlimited time is like perfect storm for insane people to show up and just
unlimited
never shut
time
up.
At a open mic? Are
That's
you crazy?
That's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I would quit.
I'm
comedy
so glad
as a host. Yeah, that was really really really. One time a dude did 40.
What?
He did 40. Here's the problem.
That's crazy.
If you're at open mic and you doing 40 and you working out a bunch of new shit, but you're doing your club A material at an open mic and you won't stop. You won't stop performing. Like, why won't you? You know these jokes work.
Yeah. All right, we'll say who it is. It was Dave Hellum.
Yeah. Dave Hellum was headlining his own open mic.
Dave Hellum.
He just wanted to work out some shit that he knows works. Weird.
We are here today. We are gathered here today
Dearly
to
beloved
talk about a little band called NERD.
No one ever really dies.
That's true. That is actually true.
No, it's
that
not.
That is scientifically true.
It is up for debate.
Now, We should cover some shit and first of all, we're doing NERD today. We were supposed to do NERD before.
Really?
Rob Hayes, and we realized shortly before not enough people hate them.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm here to do.
Yes.
A lot of people come on the show and try to convince or talk about how a generally accepted bad artist or band is good or acceptable. I'm saying this band should be in everybody's top five.
Ooh, oh, okay. That's fair. I like that.
I'm upping it from as far as like, because when I say when people do top five lists and they talk about the best ever, I'm talking about impact, right?
Yeah.
Talent and song making, all that is a given. Obviously, if you got somebody in the top five, they make good songs.
Uh-huh.
So my litmus test is impact and who they inspired and how they changed music or whatever genre that they're in.
All right,
like us with podcasting.
I like it. What's that?
Like us with podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. We changed the way.
Cereal.
Cereal wouldn't exist without us.
No two men have ever co-hosted a podcast.
I will say, we actually did figure out who killed Heyman Lee. It was Tommy.
No,
it was Dave Hellum.
Oh, at his open mic, while that dude was doing 40, Dave Hellum was murdering.
He had the perfect alibi.
Yeah. No. Do as long as you want. I'm going to be in the back.
And the open mic was in a Best Buy parking lot.
Yeah. All these things lining up, man.
Oh, man.
Green Day.
This is your top five?
The Beatles. Parliament, Funkadelic.
Okay.
NERD.
Okay.
And number five.
Yeah, you really put yourself in a corner.
Are the Jackson 5 a band?
Yeah.
Okay, then in the Jackson 5.
All right, over Michael. Are you saying bands, not you're not including individual artists?
I'm just saying as a collective.
I see.
Talent and impact of the members and their music. That's my top five.
It is very funny to put Green Day before the Beatles.
No. It wasn't
so
in order.
Funny to
it wasn't
start.
In order. I put everybody before the Jackson 5, which is crazy. But no, just the top five. The Beatles, NERD, Green Day, Jackson 5, and I named one more.
I want to play the songs throughout while we're doing it this time instead of waiting
until
the
end.
Yeah,
that's
a good
idea. I think a lot of people don't know NERD. You know?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Anybody who hears them is like, oh, this band is great, but Pharrell shines so bright that people don't even know that this band has put out what, six albums?
Yeah, six albums.
People know the production, but this is you have a band, Shay, Pharrell, and Chad, none of those are white guys. There's, uh-huh. there's a Filipino guy, a black dude. Oh, a Filipino guy and two black dudes.
Yeah.
Pharrell kind of sounds like Pharaoh, so that kind of makes sense. But
Pharaoh
Shay and Chad
is delicious, by the way.
Oh, man.
I'm all in on Pharaoh.
You ever had a Pharaoh cake?
Doros,
oh,
baby.
It's the best.
I eat Pharaoh 4 days a week.
All right, we're going to start with my favorite song by Andy, which is Everyone Knows.
All the girls standing in the line for the bathroom. All the girls standing in the line for the bathroom. All the girls standing in the
All the girls standing in the
All the girls standing in the line for the bathroom.
Yeah. You know, it's been a minute since we expressed ourselves. It takes a lot of courage to say this, but I see sounds.
Your girls are going out tonight. Y'all been planning this all be right. You got something boys can't deny.
Here's a hint.
It's like apple pie. Cut you open and you're just wired. You ain't tired, you wanna cause a riot. Who can say no to you?
Wait this till is, they this get is amazing. The remix is even with Lupe, Pusha T, and Kanye.
I've never heard that.
You never heard the remix?
No.
The remix is the record.
Oh.
The remix is the record. Have you ever had Kanye starts it off? Because Kanye, Lupe, and Pharrell was supposed to start a group, SLR, I think it was, something like that. But yeah, those three, they were supposed to do an album together, and it just never happened.
Damn.
And this is like 2006, Kanye, Pharrell, and Lupe, where they
Let's
were like,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we find that?
Yeah, I found it.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna start up this remix.
All right.
Tommy, you got to say remix.
Now, usually I don't do
this. Oh, my God.
I'm going to hold some girls' cat.
Usually I'm going to do this, but I'm going to let you go home.
go be with your family.
Yeah.
It's a very serious thing, and we're sorry.
That was all Tommy.
Got a right to do whatever you like to. Don't see we got the right one. That right one in the club. Always the flyest. Always got her hands the highest. She stopped drinking Diet Coke. She on that Coke diet. She bat her eyelids. That girl is so wired. I know she's so tired. But ooh, she on fire. $100 bill. Look at you, look at you.
Those who don't know, this song's about women doing cocaine at a nightclub.
Yeah, yeah.
If you haven't gathered.
Figure out Kanye's metaphor. She's off that Diet Coke.
She's on that Coke diet. This is how great he made. You'll see, like, the thing that he does in his verse. I think his verse
is the next,
He's him a push it.
Left your nigga home.
No, or for real. So they got all the lower lyricists out of the way, and they push the team. And
you gotta tell us you're spending daddy's cash. Your girlfriend's jealous. Hot of us, she want the high life. She like them higher ups. She know we high rolling. She know it's high stakes. That's why she high speeding out on that highway. She say she high maintenance. She say she high fashion. She say she high.
I like the remix featuring Clark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had her high. The DVD director's commentary.
SLRC.
In no high drops. I extra high feel up on his high rise. She said this high score. This was the highlight. She got her high pod, bumping her high tones. This higher education. Welcome to high school.
A whole verse.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
A couple of those words were made up, but who cares? There's no such thing as high pods.
I think they should make a new version where they're all going to rehab.
Yeah.
And he can say, she's off that Coke Zero. She on that Zero Coke.
There you go. Bars. Tommy Mac with the bars.
That was awesome. I like that really.
That was good. Co-vocalist and drummer Shay said of the song title on their records label's website, people know what we're talking about. It's an observation of what we've seen, and it captures that sex, drugs, and rock and roll mentality.
Damn.
Did Coke ever have a down period? Because I like this song kind of captures, this is when I first graduated college around that time. So this song kind of, and Coke was popular then. Coke was obviously popular in the 70s. Like, did Coke ever have a downtime where people were like, eh, Coke is out?
I think it just got quieter. Like, I think people just stopped talking. Like, I feel like the 80s is like the prime Coke decade.
Like, where people were openly like, yo,
yeah,
that
was
doing
it was the thing. Yeah.
Blood, right.
In my circles, it has always been bad.
Really?
It's always been on, like, not a thing.
Well, black people, like, coke has always been, I mean, even crack or whatever, it's always been, like, taboo.
Yeah. But
until, like, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, and that's one thing about, like, me and Andy Samford was talking about how, like, rap music now, it's finally a time where black people and white people are doing the same drugs.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, black people are doing Adderall, and we're doing Xannies and all this other shit. Like, young black people and young white people, drugs really brought people together, which is why it was illegal for so long, because they knew culturally it would have people not only partying and kicking it together, but thinking about shit differently together.
Ah, interesting.
It's the government, man. Always.
Damn.
These are just my thoughts. You know, you'll hear more of those thoughts on, first of all, my album coming out
September 28th.
Nice.
I wish
plug.
That was a drop, like September 28th.
Yeah, we'll edit.
First
that
of
in.
All, first of all.
Let's speaking of people's thoughts. Let's we're already 15 minutes in. Let's go to Jared right now. The owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic, which just turned 10 this very week. He likes to chime in with some thoughts on the music that we talk about. Our resident snob. Surprisingly soft on Jessica Simpson last week, I gotta say.
I thought he was rock hard.
That man's a father. All right, let's hear it.
What's up, y'all? This week we went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Nerd. I know Tom and probably Tommy too get irritated when people say, why do you think this band needs to be defended? Like, I like them. Well, most of the time the person that says that is wrong, that the artist or band is universally disliked, but they like them, and so that's why they say it. In this case, I feel like that Nerd is probably more respected than the average band or artist that you guys cover on this podcast, but I'm going to take the stance that I think they should be more hated, because it's like embarrassing to listen to. Like, I feel trapped when I'm listening to it, in the same way as like the Bloodhound Gang or Cake, where it's just so embarrassing to hear the lyrics. And so I think that part of the reason that Nerd is not thought that way by like the average person is because Pharrell is respected for other things. I know people like his shoe line with Adidas, but I think more than anything, they let, you know, he's a producer that I think is respected. So, I don't know. It's, to me, it's fun, I guess. So like that makes it a little bit easier to deal with, but it still embarrasses me to listen to it. I do want to say real quick, thank you to Tom for, leaving a message about the 10th anniversary of the Comedy Attic. He's been, you know, one of the most, if not the most successful comedian to ever come out of Bloomington. It was kind of hard to read his heartfelt, real, sort of talk about coming up through Bloomington, because I guess I didn't really realize that he, you know, felt like, I don't know. I'm glad that I read it. I know that, I love Tom, and, I will say, though, that it's funny that, you know, you sort of felt like that it was hard on you at the beginning, but then you posted a photo of within a year of the club being open, your name was on the marquee. So I guess it really couldn't have been that bad. Anyway, I love you guys. I love you, Tom. Thank you for being such a part of what we've done here, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Oh, that was nice. I want to talk.
Was it?
So
was it nice?
It's the 10th anniversary of the Comedy Attic, where I started comedy, and I think anywhere you start, it's hard. Like, people don't respect you, so they're like the first time I did the Comedy Attic, Jared told us all, no one wants to see you on stage for more than 5 minutes.
Damn.
And then I bombed my first couple times up, and then I was like, there was like an energy of like, you probably shouldn't be here.
Damn.
And so that's hard, you know? But yeah, Jared's right.
Where'd you start?
Of most places.
Chicago.
I mean, like, what was your first home place that you were just trying to fucking crack through?
I mean, I was just doing, like, the mics, but, I mean, I did, like, you know, I would start out, like, Merkel's open mic. Like, I was just at mics every week.
What was the first club to pay you? Are you still waiting?
Yeah.
Tom Green,
I mean,
this weekend.
Laugh Factory, I got up at. Lodge was like my first real thing. I have to consider that like my home.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I just want to clarify that Yeah, I'm saying, like, wherever you start comedy, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know? Because you got to get good, and going up on stage and like having people judge you, and like you're not good, and you're not good the first year, you know.
I just don't understand how comedy club bookers or owners are always so taken aback. Like, wow, you felt like you couldn't go up anytime, or you didn't like your beginning state. Well, of course not.
Yeah.
Y'all made it that way on purpose.
But it's like, also high stress. It's like if I fuck up, I'm not welcome here anymore.
Any bad set, you feel like this is okay, this is going to define me. You never know
Absolutely.
What in comedy is going to define you or stick with you for the longest. First time I did Jokes and Notes, which is a black owned comedy club in Chicago, Lil Rel was the host. It was the open mic on Wednesdays, but it was a paid open mic. We didn't pay. The crowd paid.
Yeah.
You paid by going there a lot and not getting put up.
Yeah.
But I went up. And he liked what I did, but I got roasted by every comedian when I walked outside. Like, I'm feeling like a million bucks.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then as soon as I walk outside, you got on my clothes. I got on. They didn't even hear my act. They just knew I went up, and they didn't. And these are like 8, 10, 12-year people in the game. This was my first open mic.
Wow.
And they just fucking – and then Rel came out, and actually he defended me. So
nice.
Shout out to comedian Lil Rel.
Star of Uncle Drew, Lil Rel.
Did you see Uncle Drew?
I haven't seen
Uncle Drew.
You gotta see Uncle Drew, Youngblood.
yeah. It's streaming.
Kyrie says Youngblood about 50,000 times in that movie. It's very
That's
funny.
The only thing written in the script. And he ad-libs around saying Youngblood. Like, he fills some words in on his blank page.
Me and Tommy went to see it together, and a little kid, or not a kid, like a probably 13-year-old dude came in with a basketball. Like, he was going to get, like, the players were going to come out of the screen or something.
Like, hey, little man. I mean,
Youngblood.
Hey, Youngblood. We should.
It was great.
Uncle Drew too.
But no, I do want to say I love you, Jared. Thanks for being a part of the show, and thanks for running to him and Dana Thompson for running a great comedy club.
You also
the
might
past
be,
10 years
to step over your nice thing. You might have noticed that the board's been going way smoother today. That's because I'm in charge.
I would argue that it has not been.
damn. Okay, enough about that. More me. He did make one salient point about lyrically. Pharrell isn't the greatest lyricist. Some of his lyrics can be a little like contrite. Not contrite. That's not the word.
Trite.
Yeah. Very like just it'll be something beautiful followed by like my dick in your back like a back pocket or something.
That's pretty good.
Something.
I love that you're making up words like they did in the song.
Yeah. it felt like they put all a lot of the energy into the chords and the arrangements and the precision, and they did a live version. And they're like, oh shit, we gotta have lyrics too.
The bass is crazy in that song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just a party. It makes you feel like you're at the thing that they're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, it's like a very cokey vibe.
Yeah, it's like you see the girls lined up in the bathroom, and you see which ones are like, you know, you don't even have to pee. I could tell. And you see the ones who front like they got to pee, but they know they just going there to do blow. What's y'all thoughts on blow?
I've never done it. I feel like I'm energized by like tequila, so
okay.
I have to go to the bathroom so often that I always feel like people are suspicious that I'm doing, just because I go to the bathroom like 3 times in a meal and everyone's always looking at me funny.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
no,
it's because you come out sweating.
Yeah.
Covered in white powder.
Yeah.
That's Tommy took a break right before the show.
Oh,
he said he had to.
Why's your face ear dusted?
I really just woke up.
Tommy's gonna take a piss break during this podcast. Oh man, let's talk some more. Let's do 3 more hours on NERD.
No, for us, it was really big. It was a big
hat. Also, let's talk about my career.
Yeah, let's really get into this thing. Second half of the show coming up.
What do you think of that big hat for Elmore?
Oh, the Gandalf. That was
what's
you know
the Gandalf.
Gandalf.
Here's
the thing about Pharrell. You know, to hit what he says is. You know, I don't try to do these things, but he's been imitated so much that you have to find, if you're trying to stand out or be yourself, you have to find weird things just because nobody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people give the cool kids or they give Kanye credit for, like, the black hipster thing, but that's Pharrell. Pharrell was popping his collar and wearing t-shirts in 98.
Damn.
He was wearing Van Halen t-shirts 96, 90s, early, when he was working with Diddy, he was dressing like that.
Yeah.
And wearing tight jeans.
I mean, he's been around for forever. Just because these two dudes met Pharrell and Chad at the age of 12.
Oh, wow.
They were in band together.
Which is when Tommy met his girlfriend. She's 12. And
the dirty dozen.
You'll never work in Bloomington again.
You'll see me in November 14th and 15th. And 16th.
They produced, Pharrell produced Rump Shaker by Rex and Effects, 1992. He was like 17.
Should we check that out?
Why not?
Yeah.
All I want to do is run my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom, boom. Just shake it. That's Pharrell.
It's one of my favorite Chappelle show moments. It's when this dude, he says, "Oh, you think that all I want to do is oom, boom, 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 and you zoom, zoom."
Yeah. That's the one.
Board's going smooth.
Yeah.
They did this beat?
Yeah. It was a girl in the video in a bikini playing a saxophone. I'm sorry, alto saxophone.
You were paying close.
Oh, man. Is that an oboe reed? Nice.
This beat is so good. That's awesome.
17.
Wow.
A lot of people talk about like how young Pharrell is and like he never ages. Like, for the past 30 years, he's just been a successful. He doesn't use drugs. Doesn't use drugs around beautiful women, making a lot of money. That'll make you young.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how can you age when you live in such, just this, everybody's dream, man?
Yeah, and some people age super hard doing that, though. You know what I mean?
But, like, do they have drugs incorporated?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We're sponsored
by
Drugs Incorporated.
I'm saying drugs, big drugs. Pharrell doesn't use drugs.
Yeah.
So he's able to remember all the good times, and, like, he just works, man. He does what he loves. That'll keep you looking young in the face.
Yeah.
Damn. That and that Cetaphil. That's what
What's
he uses.
That? Oh, I use that.
Pharrell uses Cetaphil.
Cetaphil.
What is Cetaphil?
That
clearly I don't use it.
I have eye cream that has Cetaphil in it.
You sound like they're like off the street sidekick. Hey, what's Cetaphil? I'm going to Cetaphil. You going to Cetaphil? I'm gonna see the Phillies play.
Cetaphil is a face wash and lotion, and they do other things. And it really took off.
I think I use that.
Pharrell was saying that's what he washes his face with. Cetaphil.
Ooh,
yeah.
I don't have to use it because Mac don't crack.
Oh,
hold for edit.
Yeah.
delete. Gotta give me something on that.
Once you go back, you don't go back.
Oh man. Well, guys, this has been fun. Glad we got to cover everything we came to cover.
Let's go. What song do you want to hear next?
We'll do a song and then do Facebook.
Sooner or later, but like go to the guitar solo towards the end of the song.
Okay, we'll find that. Well, let's listen to the start for a little bit.
Okay.
We'll find that.
Sooner or later, it all comes crashing down.
This is a song about the stock market crash.
Oh, wait, man.
Oh, man. Yes.
Off my
I bet you would have paid up. All you cash down,
one of my favorite albums. The video was crazy. Everyone I think Spike Jones.
You know, it's one thing to have these different progressions throughout a song and different paces and really big changes, but they flow together really nicely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they take some extreme changes, especially at the end with the guitar, but it all works.
All right, let's try and find that.
So,
this yeah.
Can you imagine just in front of 50,000 people just...
This on guitar here.
Yeah.
We need to get this on guitar.
graduated from grad school, they came to DePaul, and like just seeing this live, like I fucking cried, man.
Was this a closer? This feels like a closer.
Yeah.
This was like,
because he could just loop. I mean, he does. They just play this for a while.
Yeah, that guitar is crazy.
It was so crazy. So at every show, I don't know if he does it at every show, but at that show, so he just invited all the girls in the crowd. It was outdoors, right on Fullerton.
Uh-huh.
And he just invited, it was probably like 100 girls on stage with him.
Damn.
And he's going nuts, and the guitar is playing, and he's just, it was like.
I would try and Mrs. Doubtfire that to get on stage. Hello.
Come on, even the old ones. Come on, y'all. That would be so crazy to leave the concert to try to go get in costume.
That's so funny.
It's the whole fucking thing. Ooh, hello. Where's
but
everyone?
Then they like fall in love with you.
Yeah. That would, they probably would, if you could have, yeah, if you came to the concert like that and tried to get on stage, that would just, optically, that would just look so beautiful. Mrs. Doubtfire just air guitaring. And jumping around.
Yeah, that's when your like face would start to come off. Like when the Heimlich maneuver thing.
Should have used Cetaphil. I like that Cetaphil you used.
That's so funny.
All right, we're going to go to Facebook.
Yeah, but that changed.
That song fucking rules. Yeah. I had not heard that before your playlist, and it was.
Dude.
That might be. Yeah, that's so good.
So we have a new theme song for our Facebook segment, and nice. I want to find the person who sent it to us real fast to give them the credit.
Well, let me play it, and then will you look that up while I'm playing it?
It's very fast. It's, let's see here. It is. All right. Welcome to Facebook.
Yeah.
That was Jay Ryan. Thanks so much for the little jingle.
There was two of them.
Yeah, one's a shorter version of that.
Oh, okay.
It's just the same thing. Yeah, so that is our new Facebook jingle, at least for the time being. If you guys want to submit... Oh, my God, damn it, Tommy.
Oh, man.
You got to give the guy a heads up.
Did I just lose in Eternal Champions on Sega? Did I just fall into a pit? And,
I love the 80s-ness.
It's very cool, yeah.
It is very video... Yeah.
Kind of Stranger Things-y?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when, like... Keanu Reeves has an epiphany in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, what if we brought them all to San Dimas in
1988?
If you want to send in a jingle for maybe for any other part of our show, like we went to Jared or something, standbyyourbandpod@gmail.com. Or if you have any thoughts, go ahead and send them in there. I'll take a look at them.
What's the Twitter for the
Twitter is standbyyour. I think it's just at standbyyourband.
Yeah, Twitter and Insta. Hit us
Insta
up.
Insta standbyyourbandpod. Maybe I can't remember. One of them's got pod in it.
We should take a picture after this one.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Send them. Tweet them all your jingles.
That's right. All right. So
what was that?
That's right.
That should be the jingle.
That's Tom Sparell falsetto.
Right? That's right.
You knocked my headphones off.
You're my favorite girl. That's what got me into Pharrell, was just that his part of Beautiful with Snoop is
oh,
so good.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to know. We're going to Facebook. As always, I like to post on Facebook about the band that we're going to be talking about and see if my friends on Facebook have any thoughts about the band. Steven DeSienna, very funny comedian living in New York City, says NERD is unironically good. Gilbert Lawnd, a friend and good man of the podcast.
Check out Patreon,
great comedian.
For a fish episode.
I've been pronouncing it Lawnd.
What's that?
I always say Lawnd also.
Maybe it is Lawnd. I've been saying Lawnd for a long time. He's a great man, a great comedian. He says, great and the best name of any band or musical act ever. I will argue that for the purposes of this podcast, a terrible name, because it's very hard for us to research a band called NERD.
Yeah.
As people who listen to the show a lot know, we do a lot of research for this show. Most of it is searching whatever blank band sucks blank band is gay.
I always search blank band drunk to try and get a funny video
good.
Clip. And
I put blank band controversial. So if you type in NERD sucks. Let me see what we get here as the first.
Wait, while you're looking this up, I was trying to find your playlist earlier, and I literally typed in Tom Takar friend into Spotify to try and find your profile.
That's so funny.
This is the engineer talking, guys.
So I'm going to click this link. Oh, shit. I'm going to click this link. This is supposed to be about the band Nerd. It says, Nerd sucks big black cock in mall. So apparently people think Nerd sucks in that form.
This is the form tweet.
Nerd wearing glasses sucks dick. Nerd sucks it. Young Nerd sucks cock.
The heaviest issue is like if more people knew. Pharrell is so successful that tends to be the reason why people hate things. You know what
because
I mean?
Because people get too successful.
Yeah. Sure. So I think like their last album, they almost like purposely, they could make hits if they wanted to.
Of course, yeah.
They could just make an album full of pop greatness if they wanted to. But that's what makes them so dope. They're just like, you got Pharrell, you got Chad. At one point, like in 2002, 40% of the music on the radio was produced by the Neptunes.
That's crazy.
That's insane. That's insane.
So they have the ability to do that, but what makes them so great and why more people should know them and acknowledge them in the top five is that they don't take that route. They just make this beautiful and experimental and like, come on, man. No black artists were wearing, he was wearing trucker hats before Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, I remember him in the trucker
hat. Ashton Kutcher took the Von Dutch shit and ran with it.
Damn.
Pharrell was wearing that shit in the late 90s.
I want to point out really quickly, that's how I feel about our show. Like, we could be making
a good podcast.
But we choose to do this. Obviously. We wake up 10 minutes before the show.
Come on.
No, You Up is trying to cling to Stand By Your Band.
Exactly.
Not the other way around.
No. And the thing is, like, we could have Joe Rogan numbers. You think Elon Musk didn't want to come here?
He got a spot in Bushwick. He don't know how to. It's tough getting booked on shit in New York.
It's tough.
And Elon Musk is just like, man, maybe I'll wait. I'll get better.
Everyone at my job was talking about the Elon Musk Joe Rogan interview, like, effusively, and I had to just hold my tongue completely. My boss literally said, that Joe Rogan is a smart motherfucker. And I was like
what do you say to that? Yeah. When that person is in charge.
Exactly,
yeah.
I had that moment, and I'm in a new job, where they start making fun of Trump, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I didn't know. I was like,
sure, because sometimes they start the conversation, and they'll be like, yeah, this is bullshit. And you're like, oh, which way are they going to go?
Bullshit?
Yeah. Which way is the bullshit falling, sir? I love those moments where you can just open up as much as you want to.
Yeah.
Y'all need Will Smith on the podcast.
Oh, we did a Will Smith podcast.
You mean as a guest?
As a guest, yeah.
He's trying to do stand-up. You see that?
He's so full of shit. Yeah. He's talking about, this is his first time. No, you tried stand-up before. Fuck, who was talking about? Oh.
So Chappelle put him up is what happened to
Chappelle,
open.
Because what does Chappelle care?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
it's
whatever
like
Will Smith
Mayer.
Wants
put John
to do,
Mayer on.
That was a bad move.
We talk about him too much on the show, probably.
I actually do like John Mayer. All
right.
Musically. I'm glad you brought it up. Now I can be open about it. No, he's a good musician. Right,
we've talked about this, how we find it. I think we both agree that it's frustrating that people will be like, actually, because he makes these like kind of bubbly pop hits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But people will be like, actually, though, he's a legit incredible guitarist. It's like that is worse. It's
because
worse that he could be better.
Exactly.
And he's like, yeah, Tommy said it before, but it's like he's condescending to us by being like, I'll just give you this, you plebeians, this bullshit.
This fast food.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. They're right. He has the respect of like Bo Diddley and.
I don't give Bo Diddley squat.
Oh my God.
I set you up for that. I'm so sorry. Man, John Mayer don't know Bo Diddley about that. He don't know Diddley squat about no guitar. But now he has the respect of Gary Clark Jr. Everybody that you love in that genre, Delta Blues.
Gary Clark Jr. is great.
Gary Clark Jr. is the fucking man.
Yeah.
He has their respect, but yeah, then he goes and says, we got this afternoon.
Exactly, yeah.
So I fucks with
let's,
it.
There's some more Facebook stuff I just want to get to, so I make sure I don't.
So
forget.
Where did Will Smith do stand up before? While you're looking that up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In L.A., kid from Kid and Play was talking about how because there's an episode of Fresh Prince where Will Smith does stand up, and they said he went out, you know, because you're gonna try it,
of course.
You're not just gonna film whatever,
especially when it's so easy when you're like a celebrity, yeah. So you can just drop into like the best rooms.
LA
yeah.
In the 90s, when any if you there was no problematic nothing as long as you're famous. So he went up and he bombed a bunch.
Yeah,
I'm sure he didn't bomb in front of Chappelle though, because. I mean, who doesn't like Will Smith?
Right, right. Yeah. He's probably the most likable man.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Even her, I think she still probably likes him. I don't know.
Yeah, she was on Howard Stern talking about their love and yeah. Shit. I'm like, come on, man. I don't trust nobody who get along with everybody. So I hate Tommy McNamara.
What the hell?
The truth comes out.
Finally.
Man, finally, we got a good podcast.
You and Trump. One,
it only
one
took
a.
Us a year
Wait
and a half.
I can't stand some Tommy.
Wait, I'm one? He's one A.
He don't know. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I can't give him the top spot.
Let's talk. Shalewa Sharp, former guest
yes,
of the show,
the
great
best.
Comedian. Check her out on. She's on Fallon, right? Like, is she did
with,
something
with Chadwick Boseman? Yeah,
that's right. Yep. So Shalewa Sharp writes, "Fun fact: I was so impatient waiting for their first album that I bought the UK import version that they recorded mostly with keyboards. Then the US version came out, re-recorded with a band, and I bought that too. Ha ha ha! Dork. Also, Chad Hugo is super important and slept on. Okay, backing away from the laptop now. And then Sean Wilkinson, great comic in New
yeah.
York City,
lives
writes,
in Boston.
He moved." Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize Boston, that. Yeah. Well, terrible comedian in Boston, great comedian in New York.
Yeah.
Worst thing I can say about them is I think there are some skippable tracks on second and third album. The first is nearly flawless. I haven't heard the fourth one. And Shalewa writes, I love them, and yet I never listen to the second or fourth albums. Ha-ha. And then Sean says, backseat love is my jam. John Marzulewski writes, what an odd choice for your podcast one moment ago. And John, come on. Come yeah. on, Marge.
What is that adding to this?
What are you adding here?
Yeah, they're the best. Not the best, but they should be in that conversation. But the star power of Pharrell just takes away from how awesome they are.
Yeah,
it's like if Kurt Cobain was a great movie director, we wouldn't be talking about or still alive. We wouldn't be talking about Nirvana as the band because it's like, oh, they're great. But man, have you seen his new movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pharrell's just such a star that
what do you think of Happy?
That's a great question. Here's I have a short story about it real fast.
Oh, go ahead.
I opened for
it's like an actual short story.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. I have a New Yorker here in front of me.
I'm just gonna post it. Hold on, I have a short story. Follow me on Twitter.
Fall had begun.
Yeah. It was a brisk night.
It's always so brisk.
The sea was.
Fall is so brisk.
Seinfeld reference for those who get it.
I just read cat person. No, I opened for Paul. Oh, shit, what's his name? The comedian. He's the
Reiser?
Anka?
Yeah, Paul Reiser.
Oh.
I opened for Paul Reiser in Cleveland about 4.5 years ago. Yeah, yeah. And the one song that he wanted to be brought up with every night was Happy. He said it gets the people going.
Happy,
it's provocative.
Happy, yeah. It's not. It's a. Yeah, whatever he said.
Yeah, very short story. But I was surprised that he was like, this is
does.
The song for me.
I taught some third graders for a couple months, and this was when Happy. And it was just the one thing that can get everybody
paying attention.
Back to paying attention. Crazy inside story. Happy was supposed to be for CeeLo.
Oh.
That makes
it
more
sounds
sense.
Like CeeLo, yeah.
Clapping, yeah.
Yeah. That is a very. Anything with clapping in it is a. Yeah.
That does sound like a CeeLo song.
It is a CeeLo song. But yeah. CeeLo got in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said some stuff about. Drinks.
And he said he's like homophobic or something, right?
He's like homophobic and rape isn't really a thing. Something
that's true.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true.
No, I'm agreeing with you, Clark. I'm going to isolate that.
I'm agreeing with the thing you said first.
That's going to be the clip we play. Rape isn't a thing.
Yeah.
He did drug women's drinks, too.
He was.
What?
Yeah. CeeLo drugged women's drinks.
Oh, okay.
He did do that. Yeah, because there was a big talk about that, and he was just like, it's not a big deal. I do it all the time or something.
Oh, my God.
And then you got pulled off the smash hit, which, so Pharrell was also very lucky. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, fuck it, I'll
clap along if CeeLo fucked up his damn career.
Put something in your drink.
Yeah. Man, he's happy. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's a little, I mean, it's an incredible, I love the movie. You just
what
need
movie was it from again?
Despicable. Wasn't Despicable.
Oh,
Despicable.
I never saw
two.
It.
I will. I refuse to see it because someone said I looked like Gru once. So.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I know. Thank you.
And I heard you're going to get Despicable Me Too soon.
Oh,
God. let's listen to some more music.
All right, let's go. Let's go to something from the first album. We're going to play Am I High? Damn.
The live version is really insane.
You got the best bass, dude.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yep.
Hey, when you know I can help but hurt you,
then you know.
Soon there's no reason to lie. Maybe let those other niggas jerk you.
He probably will.
And convince you that they are fly.
Just make him fly.
Smoke weed, like, this puts you in that place of getting high off whatever, you know?
They are, man. It's so fun. The music is so good that you really don't pay attention to the words at all.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, maybe they could be saying corny shit.
Yeah.
I just don't even know.
Yeah. They could be just ad-libbing this shit.
Somebody speculates, is that Lenny Kravitz singing some of the chorus? It kind of sounds like him. I'm going to guess no, that that's Pharrell.
Yeah. The singer. Khalees did a lot of background vocals for them.
Game of Thrones?
Honestly,
I'm
I
awake.
Was
that was funny, and I don't even watch that show. That's how Khaleesi. Good that joke was. It was a very good joke.
Someone named Knox writes, I think he's talking about some fine-ass girl that dudes used, and he's there all along, and he will treat her right. Or some other BS Pharrell is always talking about, LOL.
Wait a minute. People just fall off the rails. I think, like, they make a salient point and then just, like, or whatever fucking fucktard shit. That fucking bitch, Pharrell. Pharrell owe me money. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast.
This is great.
Yeah.
Ooh. Play both sides of the field. What does that mean?
That's a line that Malicious uses.
I know. Plays. I'm saying, what does that mean?
Oh, yeah. Play both sides of the field. See, I know Kane. I don't. Oh.
Oh,
I
is he saying he's gay or bi, I mean?
He's saying, I think he's, because the clips talk about cocaine 98% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's saying that he sold and used.
Oh, I see.
Like, not only do I sell this shit, I also get high. You know, not only am I the president or whatever, I'm also a member.
Push a ton of that shit that make your nose run.
Yuck.
Damn.
Y'all
trap door supposed to be awkward.
Y'all are the clips of podcasting. I want to give y'all that.
I don't want to be that.
But we from Virginia. What ain't shit to do but cook?
Oh, Virginia's for lovers, man.
Damn.
So I've heard. Have y'all performed there? You performed in Virginia?
Virginia? I actually don't know. I performed in West Virginia.
Ooh.
But not Virginia, I don't think.
Almost Randy Moss. I did a show in where they killed that poor girl.
Oh, Charlottesville.
Oh my God,
that was great. I went.
When
to,
was that?
This was December.
So it was after all that. Wow.
It was after they had the. I took the pictures where, like, the memorial. It's so crazy. I keep ending up in places where something happened. Like, I did a show there, and then I had a show in Oakland after that girl got killed on the train.
Wow. Damn.
I was just in Texas.
You're starting to look very suspicious right now, Clark.
Like, damn, man, what happened? Oh, this ain't got nothing to do with me.
Same week as the Dallas thing, I was just in Texas doing the show. It's something. I'm from Chicago, so like I'm just familiar.
The Greyhound Killer.
Yeah. The Megabus Maniac strikes again.
Oh, boy.
I may use that.
We should listen to these last few songs here.
Yeah, so let's go to the second album,
in.
Which is Fly or Die. And you have three songs from this. So is this your favorite?
One of my favorite songs.
Would you this say is, you like this album better than In Search Of? Or?
I love Seeing Sounds the most.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Because Seeing Sounds is so organic. From you can listen to it from start to finish without skipping anything. It's thematic. In Search Of is just a great bunch of songs. Fly or Die just had a lot of dance.
Take off your
like
blouse.
If just you at a party, put this shit on, and I bet everybody at least started two-stepping. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like if they just know how to. Same thing with actually with Everyone Knows. It's just like Pharrell. Most of his, I feel like he just thinks about women. 100% of the time.
Yeah.
He just makes things women either want to think to, fuck to, or dance to, or get high to. I put on shit like this around a girl. She's like, oh, what's this? I love that music. I mean, as an Axe-Core DJ, I love when somebody says, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Oh, some shit they never heard before.
So Pharrell plays the drums on this record, and the drumming is incredible. He's just such a talented guy.
He can just go into the studio and solo and just bang out.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of tracks and just play them.
All right, let's go to the next one, which
let's
is That Was the Way She Dances.
Song facts really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Precipitate writes, definitely not great lyrics, but I love the song. Wrong lyrics. Oh, they wrote the lyrics.
Oh, so people are listening live?
No. This is like I'm looking up stuff that people have said about this song
okay.
before. No.
I'm going to look up the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, he has one line. Oh, this is a perfect example. Oh, no. He goes, I am in an aquarium. Big tits or a fat ass in turquoise skin. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I like this lyric. I hope your toes are painted because you go and dance in your undies all over the house.
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, no. Here's the official lyric. I am in your aquarium. Are you a mermaid or something? Is it possible to marry one? Big tits, fat ass, and turquoise skin.
That is the worst lyric in the
which
world.
Which is this, maybe?
That's from The Way
this
She Dances.
Oh, The Way nice. She Dances. Big tits, fat ass, and turquoise skin.
Wow.
Are you a mermaid or something?
Is it legal? He's asking if it's legal to marry a mermaid.
That should be the on the soundtrack for
Water.
Shape of Water.
Oh. Shape of Water 2. Pharrell.
Just Pharrell fucking a mermaid.
Shape of Water, me too. That was a little play on your joke.
All right. Maybe we should move on.
maybe.
Time's
you're done
up
here.
On this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
God, the guitar's on. I think Chad plays the guitar.
I think there's a good guitar solo on here, too.
But it broke. I need it hatched on the ground.
That's a horrible lyric, too.
Time flew right by me. And voila. I know you thought your life was going to be easy.
Like,
when
they
you
make
didn't call.
Perfect outdoor music
found
festival records. Yeah. Like this live in that like a shell stage, like everybody was just going nuts, man. Lupe has a great remix to this too.
What happened to Lupe?
Yeah. He lost his mind, man.
Really? What happened? So I used to love Lupe.
He's still a great lyricist. It's just it's cool when you're young and crazy. He's always crazy, but when you get a little older, and people just expect you to be a little more sensible.
Yeah.
He just never
made
sense.
For sure.
Damn.
He's the same Lupe, he's older now, so it's weird.
Uh-huh.
It's like Randy Quaid or...
Yeah.
Man, I used to listen to Superstar every time I would go on stage.
Superstar
from Lupe.
Oh, yeah.
If you are what you say
it's a great song.
You are.
That's
so
a great
good.
Story in the song.
I know. It's so good. It's, right? it's like comedy.
He could write
his first two albums
thing.
Are incredible.
Lyrically, just great. He's a great writer.
You know what's crazy I'm reading about this album about Fly or Die is Chad Hugo learned to play guitar to play live on this album. He literally says, I just started playing guitar last year, so I'm learning as we go.
Damn.
And all the guitar parts are so good.
That's crazy.
Like, annoying. Like,
that's really funny. Wow.
You two couldn't play instruments when they started. Did y'all know that?
Is that right?
That was the first concert I ever went to.
Damn.
You two?
You two at UC.
Oh.
You two, more like me too.
Oh, God.
How many me too references? That's,
let's
going
make
for the record.
The last one.
We're going for the record. Let's make that's close. What year was that?
Like maybe 2002. It was like the Vertigo tour.
Oh. Did he do Bloody Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
That's
my
favorite.
They did it all.
That's
the drums in Bloody Sunday, because I used to play drums a lot, and that opening drum part is so hard. It's a weird time signature.
Somebody's claiming. Once again, this is a different website that I'm on. Someone writes that it's Lenny Kravitz on the guitar.
Man, people love Lenny Kravitz.
I don't know what's happening.
They love references to Lenny Kravitz for sure.
So did a girl kind of screw him over by not calling, and she thought it wasn't anything? She wouldn't regret it, but she does.
Oh, it is Lenny Kravitz.
Obviously. Oh, nice. Okay, good. I was like,
on
that was that more than one.
On Maybe.
Oh, okay.
And it's those drums are Questlove.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Just star-studded.
You ever meet Questlove?
I have a few times.
That's awesome.
He was, since this is a comedy podcast, I can talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
My first TV thing with the defunct CISO.
I was also on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think had specials on CISO.
They gave me check spots on CISO, which I thought was fucked up.
You performed during the commercial?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so fucking funny. Quick, short story. So there's a show, Night Train with Wags and Neck, that I was trying to get on for like a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept, you know, hot shows, Wyatt, and a lot of people trying to do it. And she didn't know who it was. This was when we first got here. So I was emailing and going by the show and enjoying the show. Not just going and showing
face. It's a great show. It was a great show.
I enjoyed the comedy, and I wanted to know. I wanted to write and see if my jokes would work on there. So I'm going, not hearing anything back. She knows who I am. She's very nice. And then one time, she's like, well, we have a comic running late, so you may be able to go up. And the comic ended up showing up super late, so I got to go up. I did like 7 minutes. And Wyatt was there. He was going a lot, but he was actually there that night. I go up. Wyatt is impressed. He likes it. And then like a month later, she hits me back again, like, can you come back and do the show? I'm like, oh, shit. Like, did she just forget that I just
did it?
Yeah. So I go back and do it. This was like August the first time. Then September, I do it again. In the audience, it's Questlove.
Wow.
He's the one lighting people.
What?
He's the one lighting people in the back, right?
This is how cool Brooklyn can be.
This is how cool Brooklyn. And I keep hearing this laugh at this oh, like very Santa Claus is fucking bellow in the back of the room. It was almost distracting, but I was so locked in trying to impress.
That's funny because you can see people on Fallon sometimes notice that laugh.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's the exact same laugh.
Somebody, Mike Vecchione, he does a joke and he gets a laugh and he goes, thank you, Roots.
Yeah, yeah. He has this big, huge laugh. He was in the back of the room. And, you know, I'm trying to impress. Well, I'm like, thanks for having me back. I'm very, very thankful for it. And he enjoyed it. Took a picture with him, Wyatt, and Questlove at the end of the show. I'm like, well, this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Come to find out, it was an audition for the show going on CISO.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, they had, like, that whole month, they just had a string of different people. They didn't tell us that it was an audition.
Ah,
they
cool.
just wanted to see how you did. That's why Questlove was there, because him and Wyatt are close friends. And, you know, he was, like, a consultant for the thing. So that's why that was happening. And I ended up getting booked to tape that December.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Man, that's insane. What a story.
Yeah. Always go out and try, motherfuckers.
Yeah, show up to shows.
Show up to work.
Yeah. The great Woody Allen, Tom's hero, said 90% of the success is showing up.
Sun Yi said he's innocent.
Did you read that?
I did.
Listen to her.
Very intense.
Well, do you listen? You know what? Let's not. Speaking of going off the rails, let's not.
If anyone wants to come on the podcast and defend his clarinet playing, that's fine. Oh, we will not talk about anything else.
Nope, that's the only thing.
You can go an hour just talking about Woody Allen's clarinet. You deserve the bump.
I heard it's like $200 to go see him play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if you're friends with them, you're getting free. So I've been going every week.
If you're very close friends with them.
If you can keep a secret, you can come see Woody
Damn.
Allen.
Damn. All right. Do we have one more song?
Less on, she wants to move.
Before that, did y'all, have y'all ever seen Woody, I mean, Steve Martin play banjo?
I have not.
I went to his the musical that he wrote with my mom, and it was the last show of it, so he came out and played banjo in the intermission.
Oh, shit.
It was incredible. It was like one
of my
favorite New York things that it wasn't announced, like it wasn't supposed to happen. It was really cool.
Carnegie Hall?
No, it was at one of the Broadway theaters.
Oh,
I forget which one, but yeah.
Man.
But it was really
cool. Like when I went to see Louie, and in the intermission, he jerked off for all of us. He did his art.
Lenny Kravitz was playing guitar, by the way.
while he was jerking
while off. While Louie jerked off. I can't confirm that's the word. Both times.
All right, let's hear this last song.
American woman, don't come forward.
Get away.
All right, she wants to move.
She definitely wants to move away from Louie.
She wants to move 500 yards away from...
or whatever the legal distance is. Yeah, or just like girls dancing. I think I like girls dancing. That's why I love dude. Like you were saying, the bass.
Oh, I remember this video.
Yeah.
It's like the red lighting.
She's sexy. How else is God supposed to write? She's sexy. She wants to move. But you're hogging her. You're guarding her. She wants to move.
One of the lyrics is her ass she spaceship. I want to ride.
What the? Oh, God.
Like, oh, man.
Beat it.
Look at your girl. That was a great remix to this, too, with Mos Def and
De La Soul.
Featured in the movie Hitch, the remix.
Oh, damn.
Speaking of Will Smith.
I used to love Hitch.
7 Degrees.
You little Hitch.
What the hell?
Her ass is a spaceship I want to ride. It's such a funny line.
Yeah,
like, you know what, I don't know. Riding
like
a spaceship, this seems
like,
weird.
There's like, yeah, you don't ride.
Can I ride
you get like abducted or something. Like,
excuse me, Mr. Alien.
And they usually like probe you, so there's like a lot of weird stuff going on here.
In Soviet spaceship.
I love
alien probes you,
bro. Probe you.
I love that he has like basic ass lyrics, and then he'll follow it up with an explanation. Like, her ass is a spaceship. I want to ride. She's sexy.
Sexy.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, okay. Thank you.
That could have meant anything.
That could have been a metaphor. But no, it really is a spaceship.
You're hogging her. That sucks.
Again, the guitar.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's real good.
I don't know many songs that combine, or many artists that combine acoustic and electric guitar like they do. Like they produce Justin Timberlake's whole first album.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
They used a lot of they just use like three different guitars on one song.
Wow.
Bass, acoustic, and electric is kind of innovative.
She wants to move. The dog in the video clip represents guys that don't give their girlfriends enough respect or something like that. To me, this song is about guys that don't let their girlfriends have freedom to do what they like.
And that's what we all about.
It's
we
very
want
funny.
Women to have freedom.
Giving these broads freedom.
They're so spaceships.
Whatever. This is true of...
She's sexy.
Of most music, but it's very funny to just read the lyrics without any music. Like, somebody get some water in here because it's hot.
It's hot.
Hot, y'all. Hey, huh.
It's
I like it when you wet, baby.
Here, so please bring me some water. It is getting too hot.
She's thirsty.
That was the most Indian you've ever said.
What the hell? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? This is not funny anymore.
The first time I went on stage after I changed my name at a bike in Brooklyn, I was like, hello.
I was there at Pine Box.
That's
right.
Shout out to
Pine Box.
Did you do the same material but in the voice now?
No. I was like, I don't know what I think. I just said that. I ditched it right away.
You just
quickly.
Really, yeah.
You should have did like
it was very funny.
Indian accent talking about being having the same name as a pro football player. Like, the car is so weird.
I have the same name as pro cricket player. All right,
that's the playlist.
See.
That's
the playlist. Tommy, what are your thoughts on this playlist?
It was great, man. I think This is a rare thing with this podcast where usually I'm kind of excited to not have to listen to the music anymore, but doing this band just made me want to listen to NERD a lot. Where I was like, oh man, I need to get more into them because I didn't really know enough about them.
Yeah.
And I think Pharrell's really corny just as like as a celebrity.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Musically, I mean, he's incredible.
He's so talented. For sure.
And yeah, the arrangements, like the instrumentation's crazy. It's all great, man. I'm going to give him a 5.5.
Wow. 5.5.
This is the best band we've talked about in a while.
Mark. We should have noted, because, like we said, a lot of people were like, you shouldn't even be talking about this because they're very successful. Pitchfork is kind of tough on them, but the fact that they're even a Pitchfork, like the Pitchfork even talks about them, is rare for this podcast. I think I'm going to go slightly lower, only because I'm a big
It's out of six, by the way.
I didn't know what was that.
Out of six because it's six songs. I think I'm going to go 5 only because lyrically I think that it's a little dumb.
Did you not hear the mermaid part?
Yeah. Did you hear that her ass is a spaceship, not like a spaceship?
It's sexy.
But I do like the music. It's fun to listen to. It's easy listening for me. Like it's
big tits, on an fat ass, turquoise skin.
Turquoise skin.
Can I marry her? Is that legal?
It sounds like she has the elephant man disease or something.
Yeah, she needs to see a doctor.
Fucking elephant.
Clark, what do you give this out of 6?
I give this playlist a 7.
Nice. Okay, good.
Just because I feel like this is going to, like Tommy said, it's going to make people want to listen to more. This was just like me trying to give you a full range of what they can do.
Yeah, I like, so, I like even the strategy.
This isn't even my favorite. I love all these songs. These aren't even the ones I listen to necessarily all the time. But like to put you, these are songs that put you in a certain mindset.
Yeah.
So like. Only because there's more to give, that's why I give it over a 6.
All right, I like that. So if you start listening to more NERD after this, tweet at us. Tweet at Clark, tweet at me, tweet at Stand By Your Band, tweet at Tommy.
Hell yeah.
Tweet at Pharrell.
Tweet at Pharrell. Tell him what's going on over here. Thanks so much for doing the pod, Clark.
Thanks for having me. This is super fun.
Yo, plug your album, man.
Yeah.
The album, 928, is available. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's called First of All. And the artwork is the best artwork you've ever seen.
It's really sick.
On an album. I did it myself. And it really, like, once you hear the jokes, you'll get, I think, the album cover even more.
Hell yeah, man.
It's very cool.
I'm excited to listen.
Yeah, follow me at The Clark Jones on all the social
media. You can see
media.
Every
follow
Sunday at Knitting Factory.
Every Sunday at Knitting Factory. We're actually doing the album release.
Yeah, yeah.
The album release is this Friday, the day of, at 8 o'clock in the front room at the Knitting Factory. It's going to be, think of when Kanye did "Runaway" at the MTV.
Oh
Awards.
Yeah,
nice
for sure.
Think that. That's what we
do. You're
gonna
do a 19-minute joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna have a piano that's playing like 3 notes.
There's gonna be a movie about it. It's gonna be playing while I perform jokes. We're gonna play tracks on the album too. It's gonna be sick.
Hell yeah! I will be at Just for Laughs in Toronto.
Nice.
This comes out Wednesday. I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I think it's the Comedy Bar and then the Garrison every night. Please come out.
You're headlining.
I am headlining, so I'm doing long sets. My buddy Mike Carrazza, who made the theme song for the podcast, is going to be on a couple of those shows.
Awesome.
Sophie Buttle. It's going to be a great time. Todd Glass is going to be around. You can yell at him. He's going to be plugging my merch on his shows, he said. So that'll be fun.
In a very chill manner.
So get over there. Tommy, check out TommyMcNamara.com.
Yeah. On Friday, come see me at Secret Loft. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah. That is a great time. Hey, rate and review the podcast if you're having a good time. And check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/StandByYourBand. Thanks, guys. Keep it crispy.